What's so great about? What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that is willing to wrap its hands in barbed wire and cut the eye out of anybody that doesn't want to dig in and answer the question, what does make a particular topic so great? My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well. Another whopper of an intro. What is...
Finish it.
Well, I don't know. What?
I too am well. You're supposed to ask me. You egomaniac.
Let's do it again.
No, it's done. Thank you. Yeah, whopper, intro, whatever. You just got to hold...
I was appreciating...
Hold your horses. Wait till we get to the end. Then you can compliment it.
You know, I'm trying to break out of the molds. That's what I'm trying to do.
That's what I'm trying to do with these, you know, experimental intros.
I'm loving them. They're getting better every week, if I may. If I may.
Just literally right before we went on.
I appreciate it.
Hey.
Yeah?
You know, this eye might look completely dead, but it still works. The only problem is, the only fucking thing I can see out of it is fucking Andy Cantwell.
What's that a reference to,
It's
Jerry?
A vague and oblique reference to the fact that we'll be covering the 2005 David Cronenberg film, A History of Violence.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I got plenty to say about it,
okay,
Terry.
Okay, great.
But before then... I've been watching a movie on my own time.
Hello.
Now, I've been watching a movie that you've seen. Scary Movie 3. Now, before you exhale in...
You text me about this.
Yeah.
And I was...
And you know, I was trying to think because I was like, this is really actually very funny. And then I was like, and then so we finished that. It was like the second half of it wasn't quite as funny as the first, usually as it usually is with comedies. However, then I went to watch Scary Movie 2. I was like, well, that's there too. Let's just keep it going. And after about 60 seconds, I was saying to Carrie, he's like, I don't think I can watch this. And she was like, no. And then I realized what it is. You probably already know. The first two were the Wayans brothers. And the third was David Zucker.
Yeah.
Of fucking Airplane and Naked Gun
Zucker
fame.
Abrams, Zucker. Zaz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, then it suddenly clicked. I was like, well, that's why it's funny. Because I was saying to Kerry, I'm like, this is as good as some Leslie Nielsen comedies that I've seen. You know, he's in it.
I remember you specifically saying to me that you went to see it. And you're like, and it's just, there's like maybe this is four. I don't know. It's like the Grudge. There's a bit.
The Ring. There's a bit.
Oh yeah. Well, he's like, it's just something out of The Grudge. It's not even a joke. It's just like one of them doing a face from The Grudge, and you're like, oh,
maybe that was four.
Yeah,
maybe that was four. Yeah. But this one, I mean, like, I'm not going to dwell too much on it because it's like 2003, literally 20 years old.
I mean, the speed they cranked out two after one.
Yeah,
it was like
I was thinking,
8 months after the first one released.
And Scary Movie 2 was like 2002?
I think it's like 2001 summer, and then it's like February 2002 is number two.
Because I remember going to the cinema in 2002.
To see.
And I was 16, and it was packed. And that's, I think, skewed my... Although it was very of the time. Like, it was just... I mean, it was so bad within the first 2 minutes where I'm like,
I can't even remember the opening of Scary Movie 2.
It's the Exorcist thing with James Woods.
Oh, I like, love that bit.
That part was grand.
And he's on the toilet. He's like, oh, get out,
I mean,
demon.
It was so... get you, demon.
Yeah, like yeah.
It was so like... but then, like, there was a bit where, like, you know your man, where he's like, hey, Cindy, like... You know, that guy with the stupid laugh, and it's like, I've been reading the Bible. Yeah, it's great. Look, you can roll up your blunts with the paint. I'm like, sorry, I spat on you. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, this is such a different vibe to three.
That stuff doesn't age well. But one is the best.
Yeah, I'll go back and watch one probably. I mean,
has my favorite.
I'm telling you, if you're looking for a laugh and you're under a certain influence, three will make you laugh again. I guarantee it.
Is it Simon Rex as well? As
who's that?
He's like the younger brother.
Yeah, I know.
And he's like, he has the like love story. They do like 8 Mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, God. so bad.
I'm telling you, there were so many bits that I was laughing at, and I was thinking very specifically of you, that you would, I could just picture you cracking up at some of these bits. You have to be in the right sort of.
I mean, I do love Anthony Anderson.
Yeah.
Is he the Mekhi Pfeiffer?
He's like, yeah, and he's like on the corpse, and he's like, she's alive, and all this. And then, like, they try and shock the corpse, and then he's like, ah, and he's on, like, all his dreads go up. Like, it's so, like, it's granted, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
But, like, there's bits where your man gets, like, thrown out the window. It's like, ksh, he's, like, out of shot, and then jumps back up. Like, that's it. You know, like, that sort of stuff. Like, real dumb sort
it
of stuff.
It kind of sounds like it is the low ebb of the Leslie Nielsen scale, you know what I mean?
Like, it is.
It's like wrongfully accused.
yeah.
What's the one where he did The Exorcist? Repossessed.
Don't want to be. I don't remember that.
Repossessed.
I don't even remember that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think, if I'm correct, it is the woman from The Exorcist as a girl that's possessed. So, like, what's your one's name, the kid? Jesus,
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't know. But it was very, it seemed like one of those Leslie Nielsen sort of movies. You know what I mean? And it made so much sense when I seen it only today. I was like, who directed that?
Because
like,
they took over. I think they did 4. I don't know if they did 5.
I think they did.
Yeah.
I don't know. But from what I Wikipedia today.
Reboot.
Listen, I have to ask you, because I know you're going to tell me anyway. Yeah, you had a date with Destiny last Friday.
Andy,
the killer,
yeah.
Your Finch man,
fucking
movie.
Loved it.
Did you?
You'd love it. First 20 minutes, it's just him looking out a window trying to find his target in Paris. Who's he gonna kill? And it's like inner monologue where nothing happens. Him basically saying,
"You being sarcastic?"
Yes, yeah, of course I am. You'd be like, "What's going on here?
What's happening?"
He's like doing his yoga, and you're just hearing his like voice. He's a quite an unreliable narrator, and you kind of get the idea like, oh, this guy's the best at his job, and it's like the job goes wrong, and then he does kind of everything wrong,
right?
But still is really good at killing people,
right?
It's fucking dead. Like it's a process. Yeah. It's proper like, you know, process movie. George Clooney in The American, that kind of stuff. Where he's like, I find music is quite helps me concentrate, block out the world. And it's like The Smiths.
So yeah, like, I've seen that. Like Tony had a lot of Smith stuff going on because he watched it on his pod. He was saying, he said it was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of Smiths is like the soundtrack to it or something.
Yeah, like the first like 10 songs are the Smiths. But like there's a bit in it which like, it's got to be, I think anybody watching this 2-minute clip, you'd be like, that's satisfying. In that like the thing goes wrong. He has to like, okay, pack up, gone. And just, you know, he's on a scooter, like an electric scooter. And it's literally as he's driving by, he's like, disassembling his weapon, throwing it in like on the scooter, hitting in the gutter so it's gone. Or like he's driving by and he has like his bag of stuff and he's able to time it that like a bin lorry collecting stuff, he's able to chuck it in the lorry while the bin man's back are turned so nobody even notices.
And
I was like, fucking hell, like I don't know why. I don't know why that gets me hard
because it's
like
clean.
I don't know why
it's
like,
clean
that like he's so fucking good at that process. I'm like, yeah, like this is the look of somebody getting off right now.
And did you watch it with Faye?
Oh no, well I planned to
because you said she couldn't wiggle her way out of it. Did she manage to wiggle her way out of it?
Yeah, she had a rough night and day with the children.
I
get to swan home from, you know, admittedly a different type of rough day at the office.
It's different,
yeah.
But yeah, I like, I don't know about you, but I would not trade my day for Kerry's day.
I mean,
like, it's great with the kids and all that, but
maybe like once or twice a week. But like 5 days a week, it's
someone's leaving in the body bag.
You,
me, and it's gonna be
not
me.
The kids.
When I think about it, I'm really like as stressed as I would be in work if I had to, even if you gave me the option of 8 hours in work or 4 hours full on looking after the kids, I would take the 8 hours and work. I get an hour long break to myself. I get to sit and drink coffee and, you know.
You better pray Kerry isn't listening to this.
She knows. She knows I couldn't hack it.
No, but I just mean like, I get to sit on my feet up, drink my coffee.
I'm making a point about something else.
Yeah, you know, I have no stresses at all in here.
I would take the stress. I could deal with the stresses of work more than I could deal with, like, a madhouse. You know, full on. I can take them in smaller doses. I love my children.
See, I know exactly what you're talking about. But you know what I mean? Like, I've kind of had a few things on this week. And, like, the kids have been sick at home. And Faye is now picking up a bit of a bug as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm feeling relatively fine.
Yeah.
But I'm coming home every time. Like, I came home yesterday. I was late home yesterday, so I didn't get home till, like, 8:30.
Yeah.
And I came home and it was, like, just, like, a pitch quiet house. And I was, like, almost the start of, like, a horror movie. You're, like, hello? And it's, like, toys on the floor. Kitchen, relatively okay, but, like, dinner, you know, pots are still there. I'm, like, hello? Like, upstairs. And it's, like, Faye in the bed, like, wrecked. Bonnie, like, beside her. She's, like, just after getting in. I'm, like, okay. All right. Let me get showered and I'll look after things. But I'm like, me being in bed at 8:30 after a long day with the kids, that would be me. I'd be like, right, I gotta pack it in, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I see a lot of like my Instagram is kind of filled with a lot of parenting memes, and a lot of it or like couples memes and all this sort of stuff.
Memes are fine. You know what, sorry to cut across.
Go on.
You know what fucking bugs me is this, like, Instagram, TikTok, hey, here's how you parent.
Oh.
And I'm like, fuck you. Like,
or worst of all.
I'm doing my best here. Like,
worst of all are the parents who, like, prank their kids by, like, there's a trend going around where parents are just cracking an egg on their kid's head and doing it to see their kid's reaction. Like, first of all, that
child
fucking
abuse.
Hurts.
Yeah.
You know, or like even the psychological ones was like, yeah, we had all your candy, you know, like for Halloween or something like that. It's like, yeah, we just ate it all. There's none left. Like after they've gone trick or treating or something. Kid's bawling. And you're like, ha, like we got them, guys. Yeah. Like, you know, just for likes and stuff like that.
This is Child Protective Services.
But yeah, but I see these memes of like where it's like the mom at 5 p.m. and it's like phone, like pan, yeah, like pushing something with the kids and a baby in the arm, like, ah. And then it's like the dad on his way home from work. And I think it's from like White Chicks, something. It's your Aunt Terry Crews. Yeah. He's like, making my way downtown and I'm homebound. Like, and it's so true.
There's a bit, you haven't seen Oppenheimer yet, but there's a bit in Oppenheimer where like they're after having a baby and like they've moved to this like ranch in the middle of nowhere. Like, so the wife is at home with the baby and he's like, he comes home and he's like, great news. He's like, I got put on the, you know, the Hiroshima project or whatever. Yeah. And like, but like he could hear the babies crying. He's like, shouldn't you go to him? And I'm like, oh, Oppie, what are you doing? And she's like, I've been going to him all fucking day.
Imagine,
and I was like, that's like my life, like to 10. Like, yeah, if I came home and it was like, the baby's crying, like, shouldn't you pick him up? Yeah.
House is a bit of a mess. Did you do hunting today?
Yeah. What have you been up to?
It's like, all right, it's such a gift picture of your tombstone.
Yeah.
I know you're shining down.
I close my eyes. Only for a moment.
You know what else I watched?
Hello?
I watched, I don't know if you don't really have any interest. But you did a little bit.
Try me.
I watched a show called Get Gotti. On
Netflix. Is that Netflix? I saw it like floating around.
It's interesting.
Is it a drama or is it a doc?
It's a doc.
Okay.
And it's got like real footage and real sort of tapes, and it's all about how the FBI were like battling with this other organized crime bureau, and it's like they got the bug. It's like, oh, the FBI don't have a bug in yet, but we have the bug in, and like, you know, they can only record for a certain amount of time, and how they go about doing it, and then like footage and videos of all the guys, like. I love mafia
what
stuff.
What was the fucking guy that you used to watch?
Sammy the Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Rhett bastard.
I said, John, what the fuck?
Yeah, and there's all that stuff about how Sammy turned informant because he heard tapes of John saying, like, oh, we're going to get Sammy or whatever, like, in the trial. And then so Sammy's like, okay, I'll cooperate with you. Fuck this guy, sort of
Isn't
thing.
Isn't that, like, The Departed?
Is that what it is?
Well, like, I know it was based on Whitey Bulger, but like that's the whole thing in The Departed, where it's like Matt Damon realizes that Jack Nicholson is, you're a fucking FBI informant.
Yeah.
Do they know about me? Nobody knows about you, Colin. I know about you.
Did you ever see that thing with Matt Damon talking about Jack Nicholson in that movie where he's like, this is an example of like Jack Nicholson adding to a scene.
The cock?
Where it was like they shoot someone and it was like, he says something, is like, why don't we fuck her? Or it was something like, it was something that was like, why? It's like he says something mad, like sadistic after. I can't remember if that's what it was. Or something like, it was something like that about like, why don't we have sex with the dead body or something like
right,
that.
Okay.
It was like, it just shows how, like, I'm actually butchering it, but there's a whole.
Cut this out.
But like,
I tell you what, seek find the clip when you put it in.
Yeah, I'll seek it out.
Yeah.
Damn, I even talked over that. Fucker.
Adding right now.
The scene said it was 1/8 of a page, and it said Costello executes man kneeling in the marshes. He looked at that and he goes, okay, I can do that, but I think I can make it better. So what I do is, instead of a man kneeling in the marshes, I make it a woman. But I'm not going to be alone. I put Ray in the scene with me, and I do the thing, and I shoot her in the back of the head, like it says in the script. But if you leave the camera rolling, I turn to Ray and I say, geez,
you fell funny.
Now that's a really sinister thing to say, because it means I do this a lot and there's a way people fall. Now you could end the scene there, but if you leave the camera rolling, Ray steps forward and he reveals that he's holding an axe. He's gonna chop her up. Now you could end the scene there, but if you leave the camera rolling, I turn to Ray and say, I think I want to fuck her again. And he says, but if you keep the camera rolling, Ray stops and looks at me and I go, ah. And that's a sinister thing to do because we're making a joke out of this whole thing.
Hey, I tell you what, if you got, you're back on Disney, yeah?
Yeah, I literally cancelled it yesterday, but
how long do you have left, or is it gone?
Well, the price was going up. I got an email saying it's gone up from $8.99 to $10.99, and I barely watch it, so I was like,
well, what I was going to say is, I don't know if you ever watched any of the TV show, but I'm back on it. What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh yeah,
season 5 I'm on.
Oh well, I actually had no idea it was a TV show. I thought it was just that one off
the movie that we watched, which is great.
Yeah.
And it's set in the same world as that, but it's in America. So it's a bunch of them that have gone to America.
So they're not Australian or New Zealand or whatever.
Well,
it was.
They're not in New Zealand. They're in like Staten Island.
But it's the same people.
No, different.
Oh, okay.
But like those other people have appeared in it.
Right.
Those other vampires.
It's good.
It's brilliant. Your man, yeah. Phone Jacker is the lead guy in it.
I don't know who that is. Bow, bow, bow. I know the voice, but I don't know. Dave. Yeah, I don't know who that actually is. Who is it?
I don't know his name.
Oh, well.
I can't tell you his name. He plays Nando. But Matt Berry, my man, toast of London himself.
Of course.
That was the one you were saying, you're the biggest dirtbag in New York City. That's from What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, is it? Yeah, okay. Very good.
But I'm loving it. I'm back on it. Like, nothing better than a 25-minute comedy that, you know, there's some of these comedies that it's like, oh, yeah, this is funny.
Yeah.
As opposed to, oh, I'm actually laughing.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to laugh while I'm on the train watching this, you know.
Like, there's one of them.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of, like, laugh out loud moments in it.
They're few and far between.
Right, man, these days, like, you know.
There's something about comedy and horror that is just, it's almost niche at this stage, like.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, a good one.
Yeah, I mean, you go back, like, Cabin in the Woods is the last, like.
Oh yeah, like actual comedy horror is
that straddles the line perfectly, because like some parts of it is like, what, Jesus, oh my god, and then like they're like clown, like
the most like outrageous premise,
brilliant though,
but like you just and it's one of those movies that's like, I can't actually tell you anything about it.
That's what I was saying to you, like, I was like, just watch it, like, and I was in Australia and I kept hearing how it was delayed. I'm like, surely there's a file out there somewhere, scouring the internet for it.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, could not get it.
Listen, speaking of movies, do you have anything else to talk about?
I went to the cinema.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got a couple of minutes. Yeah. I went to the cinema on Monday. I went to see the new Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, yeah.
Called Dream Scenario. Which
is it good?
It's good. It's really
good.
Yeah, it's really good. As a thinker, it kind of stuck with me. An hour 40, first of all, so could have been on this list.
Yeah, okay.
And the premise is Nicolas Cage is a boring biology lecturer in a college. But then,
even that must require all of his acting faculties to play a boring.
He kind of like is closer to like his Charlie Kaufman performance.
Okay.
He kind of is a little bit like one of the quirky. Early scenes is like he's going to dinner to meet with somebody that like he has known years ago, and she's like getting a paper published and he wants credit because he's like, you're using my research that I, and she's like, from like 20 years ago? He's like, yeah. my anatomy or something like that. Like, but he keeps appearing in people's dreams. And at first it's like, hey, you were in my dream last night. He's like, what was happening? He's like, oh, my brother-in-law was in a car accident and I was trying to help him up. And you were just kind of standing there looking at us. And he's like, I didn't help or anything like that. It's like, no, no. You just stood there. And everybody says that, like, something bad is happening and you're just standing there. Hmm. But he kind of becomes like a viral hit. And then he's getting a bit of fame that he likes. And he wants to try and maybe, like, parlay that into him getting a book deal right. for his, you know, ant research or whatever. But he hasn't. He's like, I have a book. And it's like, oh, how far along have you written? He's like, well, I'm yet to write it. You know, this kind of right. this guy that has, like, delusions of, like, grandeur. And then it's like, halfway through the film, the dreams start getting really upsetting. Mm. Like, he starts, like, murdering people in their dreams.
Does he know? Is he in this?
No, he's like, I didn't do it. And everybody's like, yeah, I don't want to be around you anymore because you're too upsetting.
I can see why Nicolas Cage would take a movie like that.
It's,
you know what I mean?
Man, like, the scenes in it where it's like, people are asking to leave a restaurant because somebody did something to them in their dream. And he's like, no, I'm not fucking leaving the restaurant. I paid for my meal. I'm eating it.
Now, you went to see this by yourself?
Yeah.
Do you, can I ask
you? There's like five people in the cinema. And I tell you, there's a bit in it where it's like somebody's had a sex dream about him.
Yeah.
And she's kind of coming on to him.
Yeah.
And as she's unbuckling his trousers, he lets out the most realistic sounding fart I've ever heard. And I pissed myself laughing.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Are you comfortable just laughing in a cinema if you're by yourself
of course.
That?
Yeah. I am like Sideshow Bob.
Oh, really? Now that is too much.
But it was great. And I think another great, which kind of shows you he still has his range. You know what I mean?
He's like, got, you know, when we did the Nicolas Cage series, for anyone who hasn't listened to it, was that our last series? Yeah.
No, PTA was our last series.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Trying to erase it from your memory already, huh?
Oh. Like, you know what? All of the previous series were a somewhat of a success, except the PTA one.
Which is so maddening to me.
Like, the PTA it's like one.
Objectively, the best films.
Oh.
Objectively.
Fucking. You know, I'm anti PTA, if anything, now. But the Nicolas Cage one made me at least appreciate his process.
He's got skills, man.
It was different. He does it a different way, but there's something there. There's substance. Like, he's not just totally crazy for the sake of it.
If anybody says to me he's a bad actor, I'm like, well, you don't know how to watch a movie. If you that, like, that's what I will say.
Yeah, yeah.
If you say, oh, Nicolas Cage, bad actor, I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're watching it wrong. And that's me saying that.
I mean, this is your barbecue, and I'm not going to tell you how to watch it, but it tastes good.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, but go see Dream Scenario. It's out there. You know, this is how I had the choice to go see the new Marvel movie, The Marvels, or go see Dream Scenario.
I think you made the right choice.
I do too.
Do you think one day the pod will get big enough that movies will put quotes from What's So Great About Podcasts on the poster?
No, not at all.
Shy.
I didn't like it. I loved it. WSGA pod. And I tell you what, I know I kind of said it on the solo cast that the Loki season 2 wasn't doing it for me. First episode, very good. Next two, kind of crap.
Right.
Last three, really pulled it around. I have to say, they fucking nailed it.
Okay.
I'm back on board with that character.
Okay.
But not the movies.
Yeah,
I'm really not excited for the movies anymore. It's a shame. It's a shame.
I see Marvel has it ended with Endgame.
Yeah, I wish.
You know, like it's over for me with Endgame. I'm done. It's wrapped up in a nice little package. You have the whole Captain America thing. This new stuff, I thought maybe with WandaVision, I was like, okay, they're still
good.
I was like, they're still, I'm still here. I'm still ready to see where they go with it. Loki was good, but
Loki was better than WandaVision.
I had a bad taste in my mouth after Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which was second, wasn't it? And then Loki.
Yeah.
Was third.
Yeah.
And so
really could like do with getting rid of half the shows.
Yeah.
All of the shows.
You know what I mean? But no.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Not for me, huh?
Well,
what was for me? This bloody movie. Let's get into it and talk about it.
They were gonna kill us. You saved our lives.
Hello, my hero.
Tom's
Stahl is a family man with long-standing ties to this community. Right now, this community is rallying behind him and calling him a hero.
Way to go, Tommy.
Great, more reporters.
You don't look like reporters.
You're the big hero.
Really don't like talking about it, sir.
You sure took care of those two bad men, Joey.
My name is Tom. It's Joey.
You tell me.
Sarah? Sarah! My daughter, where is she?
What's going on, Dad? They thought they knew me. Thought I was somebody else.
Nothing to worry about, Mrs. Stahl. I've been watching over her.
I don't know what you want, and I don't really care.
You should care about what I want, because what I want might change your life. Why don't you ask Tom and ask him how come he's so good at killing people?
That was the trailer for the 2005 film A History of Violence, directed by David Cronenberg, starring Viggo Mortensen, Maria Bello, Ed Harris, and you threw me getting up out of this.
Keep going.
Yeah, William Hurt. Care for some boyf, Andy?
I'd love some boyf.
Why don't you hit me with the budget if you get a second?
The budget, I will say, was 10 million.
32 million.
32 million?
Those squibs aren't cheap, man.
32 million?
Yeah.
Okay.
Missing out mid-budget. It looks good.
I just didn't know if it looks 32 million good. What are they spending it on?
Actors, real locations.
Yeah.
Squibs.
What are squibs?
That's when you explode and blood comes out of you.
Oh, squibs. I don't know.
Squibs, Andy. What are we doing
okay,
here?
Okay.
Okay, so box office opening. Now, I'm not going to give you the very first weekend it opened, because that was the weekend of Hurricane Katrina.
Okay.
So they only opened it in 12 screens.
Okay.
So next weekend, it's technically the second weekend, but it's the first weekend it went wide, shall we say.
Okay. 4 million.
8.9 million.
Am I in the cutoff for 5 million? No, it's 10%,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it? AC says
10%. 10%. Domestic total?
22 million.
31.5 million.
Okay.
And
you got a worldwide?
I got a worldwide.
65 million.
61 million.
He's back, baby.
You know, one out of four ain't bad. Rotten Tomatoes.
Critics. Mm-hmm. The critics all agree it was a stinky pile of cheese. No, I'm just kidding.
I know you're
81.
88. And audience?
76.
Oh! So close. Nominated for 2 Academy Awards. Care to take a stab?
A visual effects.
Mm-mm.
Adapted screenplay.
Bingo. Wow, look at you.
Boom. And
you're never going to get the next one, by the way.
Sound design.
No.
Okay.
Best supporting actor.
Ed Harris?
William Hurt.
For his bit at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Huh? Huh?
It is one of the most famous things in recent history, where he's like, he's in one scene that's less than 10 minutes long and he gets an Academy Award nomination.
Okay. I mean, do you agree with that at all?
Yeah, he did not win. George Clooney won for Syriana, and it did not win Best Adapted Screenplay. Brokeback Mountain won for that. But I mean, I love seeing him in there, in the top 5.
Wow.
Yeah, so fucking good.
Fucking Oscars, man.
Okay, this film is based off a graphic novel of the same name, published in 1997.
I knew that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you look it up?
Well, I inadvertently saw it today.
No, okay. Originally written by screenwriter John Olson, he said he intended to use the source material as a springboard to explore themes that interested him. However, when Mortensen read the script, Viggo, he said it was, what do you say, it was 120 pages of mayhem. Mm. He only agreed to do the movie if Cronenberg would agree to rework the script.
Okay.
Which apparently he did. But he doesn't get credit on the screenplay because of Hollywood script laws or whatever. Like, it would have it would have to be like, okay, we threw out your man's draft and wrote it all from scratch again.
Right, okay. So,
the film differs from the comic in that Tom is Italian in the book, and so is the mob. Richie is his childhood friend and not his brother, and is also not in the mob. And one of the key pieces that I thought was fantastic is Tom is missing a finger. Hmm. And when Fogarty shows up, he has the finger around a pendant on his neck. Which I think is class. Like I said, William Hurt received an Oscar nomination for one scene that lasted less than 10 minutes. And for the sex scene on the stairs.
Please.
Oh, now you're interested.
Go on.
Cronenberg was worried about injuries to the actors on the hard wooden steps. Yes. So he asked for crash pads from the stunt team. The stunt man laughed, saying, "In 20 years, I ain't never been asked for no stunt pads for a sex scene." That's me paraphrasing. Pads were not used for most of the scene. And as a result, when Maria Bello is naked on the bed, you can see serious bruises on her back.
When she's naked on the bed?
I think it's the earlier sex scene.
Oh, okay.
When she's naked.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, Andy, sock it to me.
Yeah, you know what? All in all, it was all right.
It's fucking deadly. What are you saying? It's all right.
Let me give my two cents on it here. Okay. You know what? I thought it was certainly a lot better than the usual movies you recommend to me.
Okay.
A lot better. There was a lot more going on. All in all, I enjoyed it. If someone asked me what's History of Violence like, I'd be like, yeah, it's pretty good. I wouldn't be like, it fucking rips.
Yeah, you would. No, you should. It does fucking rip.
You know what? I would say the graphic novel was deadly.
The graphic novel, actually, from reading it, seems kind of shitty.
Is it?
Yeah, like, the whole thing, the reason why he's on the run is, like, it's Tom and Richie that, like, rip off the mob to pay for his mom's operation to make her feel, you know, she's sick or something. And then, like, Tom slinks away, but Richie spends his money,
right,
big flash, and he gets captured by the mob. And then when they kind of come back for him, Richie has been held captive for 20 years. So when he kills the people, he has to, like, give Richie a mercy killing. And I'm like, ugh. You know, like...
Yeah.
Like, I love how stripped down this is. Like,
that's the thing. I think it was a bit basic.
Yeah.
For me. You know what I mean?
Like, it's so, like, good.
The parts that I enjoyed... Okay. I enjoyed all of the violence.
Hmm.
I thought it was very well done. It was
Cronenberg.
There was a load of killings in it where I was just like, fucking yes.
Yeah.
But all in between, I just thought it was a bit like, just a bit meh.
What do you mean? Like, though? Like,
I was never captivated. You know, it seemed a little bit like cringy. That's the wrong word.
Here's what I've realized this time, and the last time I watched it as well, is Cronenberg trying to do, like, almost Spielberg-y stuff. Like, you know, like, the guy who does the score is the guy who did the score for Lord of the Rings. So it's very, like, there's times where it's like, oh, there's a flute here for some reason, like, you know? Or I noticed that, like, how Viggo Mortensen is really bad at being the normal Tom guy. I was like, oh yeah, because that's not him. He's Joey. Yeah. And it's like, when he's like, "Hi, I'm normal Tom Stahl." And it's like, I'm like, I don't believe this guy for a second. But how did all these rubes get taken by this guy?
I didn't really believe that he was Joey either.
Ah, you did at the end.
Surely. I actually thought, like, I didn't.
Because he's like,
everyone loved Viggo in this movie. I actually didn't really like him.
I mean,
in this.
He's the third best performance in the movie.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna
Ed Harris and William Hurt.
Yeah,
that's probably fair.
Yeah,
I thought, oh, the bit, it was so, now you'll even have to admit this, that the whole bully.
I thought you would have loved that because it is so basic. Like, I thought you would have loved
it. Like, it's like, the guy, like, he catches him out at a baseball game and it's like, so you think you're so hot, huh?
Yeah, I thought you would have like, loved that. Go, yeah, man. Like, I think that's what he's going for. That's, it's going
deliberately.
For, yeah, like,
because bully was so over the top.
If you've
like,
ever watched any of the other Cronenberg's,
Letterman jacket.
If you ever watched Cronenberg's other stuff, it's like fucking weird. It's out there and he's like, right, these are cliches. I'm going to lean into them so much. And I'm going to hire a fucking Jewish guy to be the high school kid. Yeah. You know, like...
But what's... Like, what sort of stuff did he do before this?
Cronenberg?
Yeah.
Did you ever see Existenz?
No.
I
don't think of...
Cronenberg's kind of like weird, like body horror, like Videodrome.
What do you mean, like body horror?
Like... Remember that episode of Rick and Morty where everybody's bodies get fucked up and they talk about Cronenberg?
Yeah.
Like, that's the monsters in his movies are like that. They're real, like, weird shit.
Right.
You know, like, so to
that's
see
why
this.
They're all called Cronenberg.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, you're Cronenberg. Morty. Yeah, you know, like. So where you see this and it's like, oh, it's Indiana or Ohio, wherever it is. Like,
yeah.
Or, and it's like, so, like, straight laced. And it's like, this is him being like, I can do normcore. And it's like, yeah, but like, it's also a little bit off about it. Like,
there was something off about this movie.
I don't think that's kind of on purpose.
Is it?
Yeah.
But
because
like,
it's like, you see, even like kind of like David Lynch, where it's like, see, even normal stuff is fucking weird.
Yeah, but you know what it was? It was like the normal stuff wasn't necessarily like weird, like obviously weird. It was just, I thought maybe, I don't know if I can articulate it properly, but it's like the pacing was off on this movie.
Do you think
know,
so?
I thought it was paced very odd. That it was like...
I thought it was actually...
It was slow and then there'd be a bit of action and then slow again.
Yeah, you gotta let it breathe, like...
Yeah,
it's
but
like
I just...
It builds up, you know?
I just found myself being a little bit bored
in
between the exciting bits. You know what I mean?
I mean,
it was very... It seemed quite paint by numbers.
Yeah, I think that's what he's going for.
Yeah, but like, I didn't really like that. You know what I mean? I kind of
thought,
like,
I'm into that.
I don't know if I'm into that. Now, if I may talk about the sex scenes in the movie.
Please.
Jerry, let's just stop beating around the bush here. So the first one, I tell you, you never see a good old 69.
I told you last time I watched it. I was like,
well, she's
fucking
in her cheerleader outfit.
And like, he's burying his head in between her legs. I'm like, fucking good man, Vigo. Like,
you don't see that a lot
these days. My review for this on Letterboxd is Keanu Reeves' voice, 69, dude.
I liked the, who is the wife?
Maria Bello.
Yeah, what has she done?
I've not seen her loads. She's done a lot of stuff. Silent Hill, she was in with Sean Bean.
Seen her face loads. Yeah, she's done loads.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was good.
I think she was in Private Parts. I think she was the wife in Private Parts.
Ah.
Maybe not. I don't know. Like,
Similar
to her, anyway.
It's very similar. Bit disappointed that scene was cut, to be honest. I thought, now we're getting somewhere. And then they're just cuddling. Then they're just cuddling afterwards. Like,
it's not a porno.
I
want to
see it. Yeah. You know, show me it.
You get to see her vagine later on.
You do. Very just like, oh, hello. Like, nothing to do with the scene at all.
She's pissed off is what she is.
She just walks out with an open robe. And it's like, it's nothing to do with the scene. But, you know, not mad at it.
Yeah.
And then the scene on the stairs. Brilliant.
We used
loved
we,
it.
When we had, like... One of the lads had the DVD in their apartment when, you know, say we were 19 and 20.
Yeah.
And like, we'd always talk about that sex scene. Like, fucking hell. Like, you know. I remember the first time I was like, it's not a bit rough though. And now I'm like,
She's into it.
Yeah, she is into
it.
Because
at first, like, she slaps
him. Kind of rapey at first. Like.
Yeah, because at first, like, she slaps him and then he grabs her by the throat. Yeah. And I was like, she's into it.
The context is that at this point, she has figured out that Tom Stahl is not what he seems.
Yeah, he's actually in the witness protection.
No, he's not.
Or the fucking whatever.
He changed his persona.
He
left the mob.
And he's not who she thinks she is. And he's got this history of violence.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Now, the setup for this movie is fucking brilliant. In that you start with these two guys. And this is like why I think it's such a brilliant screenplay. Is the sense you get of these two scumbags, it's like they've just been going from town to town robbing and killing people.
Just realised that you told me, sorry to interrupt you, last week, this is what you based your yeah, screenplay yeah. up, and it's actually, I can totally see it now.
Like, wholesale.
No, there's definitely differences, but I was like,
there's parts of it where I'm like, I love this, that it's like, these two guys, one younger, one older, like, with no money, okay, listen, I went in and took care of the reception, whatever, which is like, he fucking murdered everybody.
Yeah.
And he's like, go in and fill the water jug. And then the killing of the kid at the start, I'm like, these fucking dirtbags. What? There's a little girl, and he's like, shh. And he's in the motel. The guy, the young guy that was going to rape the woman at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he goes into the motel, remember?
I don't think I've seen that.
So the very start is like them in the car. They're just like pulling out of the motel.
I don't remember that.
It's like literally the start of the movie.
I mean, I've seen it from the start, but I don't remember this.
Yeah, you blocked it out probably. For
maybe,
because
I was thinking in the restaurant when they were about to take your one, I was like, oh no.
Well, but, and that killed was the first, kids at this point.
No, like, I'm glad I actually didn't see that.
Like, you don't see it. It's like okay. A little girl comes out of the back room and he's like, shh. And then he reaches behind his back for his gun and it cuts to the guy outside.
Oh, I actually do remember that, but I actually didn't put it together.
That he had shot the big bang of the gun.
I don't know what. I don't know what.
But like, yeah, I love the with a few lines from them where you're like, we're fucking broke. I'm sick of this. Yeah. You know, and they've just been like driving around, petty thieves, murdering people, don't fucking care.
Yeah.
And they show up on Tom Stahl's diner. Just as he's closing, and he's like, coffee, please. And he's like, sorry, fellas, we're closed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I said coffee! And he's like, oh, okay, sorry.
But, you know? Like, do you not think that, like, it's like a few plot holes, if I may.
Sure, hit me.
Two, really. One was if and when he gets a bit of notoriety for killing, and a very good killing. Mm-hmm. Of these two guys.
Well, it's fucking class. First of all, let's talk about the killing.
Okay.
Before you get to the plot.
So he smashes one over the head with a coffee beaker or whatever. The way he shoots one of the guys through the head and it's like comes out.
So
his
like
mouth.
the older guy is basically he pulls a gun on him, and the younger fella is gonna like rape the woman who works for him because he's like, you go home.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what's going on. He's like, you get out of here. And your man locks the door, and like. He like grabs her by the face and then like smells his hand and rubs it down her top. That was an ad lib apparently from that guy. Like that he's just and like he just wipes it down her top like mauling her boobs essentially. Yeah. And then something happens, the old guy kind of gets distracted and then he gets the coffee pot to the face, hops the counter, shoots the young guy, and then the old guy stabs him in the foot.
Yeah.
And then he shoots him down, and the very Cronenberg, you know, the chin is hanging
but
off.
Like,
him.
So after he did that, and he gets notoriety, would he not want to then take his family and get the hell out of there and say, "Fuck, I have to start again"? You know what I mean?
Because he doesn't want to like, you know, face the lie. Like he's a coward.
But,
like,
but would he not think like, oh? The people who I'm running from.
He's hoping that doesn't happen. And then guess who shows up on his doorstep?
Ed motherfucking Harris.
Sure you do, Joey.
And the way... I laughed. The first time you see Ed Harris in this movie, I laughed. Because he comes in with these shades and this big shit-eating grin on his face. And I'm like, there he
so
is.
So fucking good.
And he's got like one... Like his face is all kind of... Slightly deformed, I guess, and his eye is like, you know, blind, or one of them is.
I would actually have Ed Harris up for best supporting actor.
I would have thought him
ahead of William Hurt.
I mean, can we talk? Can we actually talk?
I want to just step through the end. I don't want to move off from Ed Harris just yet, right? Because it's like you say, it's a bit basic, so there's not loads that we have.
Yeah, okay. And then my second plot hole is.
What's your plot hole? First plot hole, sorry. Oh, that's the one.
That he would still stick around. Okay. Not want to get the hell out of there. And the other one is when Ed Harris. So Ed Harris, is he part of the mob?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's part of the Irish mob.
Right. And like, oh, it's the Irish mob. Okay.
Yeah. So, and.
Makes sense.
Joey, like, tried to take his eye out with barbed wire.
Yeah, yeah.
20 years ago or whatever.
Would he not, like, if he wanted him, would he not, like, Like, he seemed to be playing the long game, trying to just get him to come over instead of just, like, breaking into their house.
He knows how dangerous he is, one. Mm. And he's, like, two, is like, I have to be 100% sure as well. Like, you
right,
know, like,
right, right, okay.
So, like...
Fair dues.
So he kind of, and it's only like a day or two that he's like floating around.
Okay, yeah.
And I love how when the cops pull him over,
yeah, the cop is barely like, even
he's like, yeah, yeah, whatever, like, yeah. Some the man, officer. You know? Yeah. And like, there's a great scene. Like, so the first time he shows up, he's like, oh, well, we don't want to get you upset. You might go all Dirty Harry on us, and then, the other like goons like.
What a perfect casting, like, for the... You know, he's like, and he's such a bastard,
The other two guys are great as his heavies. Like, yeah, they just... Yeah. They have those faces. They do, you know? And then he intimidates the wife when she's getting the daughter's shoes.
That part made me go, like, ugh. Just because I didn't know at the time... I was like, oh, she finds her straight away. Yeah. But, like...
When she runs away.
When she's first, like, calling her...
Yeah.
And it's like I've been in situations like that in not that for even that long,
yeah.
But like in like a clothes shop where like I'm with Joe or something like that, and then I turn around, it's like, oh, where are you? And then I'm looking here, there, and then like,
it's like 30 seconds. You're
literally,
like, yeah.
I mean, it would take 10 seconds, and I have this feeling in my stomach, like boom, like oh no, and it's like, oh, there you are. It's like, oh,
don't ever do that again.
Yeah, but like when she's running out and she can't find her, I was like, oh no.
And then and like, just to have him sitting there again with his shit-eating grin, yeah. Like, don't worry, I've been looking after.
I've been keeping an eye on
him. Yeah, you're like, oh. And he's like, why don't you ask him why he's so good at killing people? Like, yeah, that was the trailer line, and I was like, oh fuck,
it's a good line.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Very
like,
good line.
Like, he is brilliant in it. And then like when, so there's a whole other thing with the kid at school, and like he kind of like freaks out and beats up the bully, like they have that scene, and then it's like it's a real melodramatic scene between the dad and the kid where he's like, it's like, in this family we don't hit people to solve our problems. Like, no, we kill people or we shoot them. And like, he slaps him. And the kid's like, oh. Like, the kid is like Woody Allen in this movie. Like,
basically,
I just, you know, you're smart. You beat me. You're the tough guy.
What would
be
the point?
Exactly. And it's like, I don't know where they got him from.
The bully was weak as well. Like, I can't believe the bully let him away with so much shit. Like... You know, like, even like talking to him, he's like, God, and then walks away. Like he wouldn't just like beat the fuck out of him there. Like, you know.
So then you get the scene where he's run out of the house, and then they show up, the mobsters show up at his door with,
they've got him.
Yeah. So he's like, Joey, you come back with us, we'll give you the kid. And that's what's going to happen. And he's like, the scene is like, okay, so get in the car. He's like, no, I think you should just leave. And your man just like stepped beside him, like real like long step.
Yeah.
Like, I think you should get in the car. Like, his arm is like twisted, and then like four.
That was great.
That's fucking good.
Four like shots to the nose, up to into the brain. Just
destroyed. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And he gets shot. He shoots the other heavy, and then it's like Ed Harris standing over him, and he's like, I bet you wish you killed me all those years ago, don't you, you miserable prick?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I should have killed you in Philadelphia. And it's like, yeah you should have.
I wish I should have. And then it's like,
the kid shoots him. Yeah, yeah,
In the graphic novel, it's the wife that shoots.
Oh, okay.
Shoots him. I kind of prefer it was the kid, to be honest. Because it's like almost like it's been passed down through the genes.
I actually think both would have worked, because I think the wife was very much... Up until that point, the wife seemed very much ride or die with the husband, and, you know...
She still kind of is afterwards, just to protect her family, I think.
I really liked her character.
Yeah, she was good. And she's a lawyer. Like,
I liked the fact that they had her, like, even after all this, like, she's going up to him, like, you know... Like, she visits the
hospital.
The place, or visits the thing just to see how he's doing after... the first big incident. Like, she shows up to his work when it's real busy now because everyone wants
to.
And she's like, just seeing how you're doing.
She's
digging
in. I was like,
oh, what a great wife she is there. Stair sex.
Well, the stair sex then, it comes like after they have
We don't talk about sex scenes a lot on this podcast.
No, because there's no, you know, very few.
What's the story? Why don't they do that? Because it's R-rated and they don't make R-rated movies anymore.
Yeah, but even if they do, like, it's, you know,
like, that's,
let's get it back. You know, yeah. I watched Gone Girl there recently, and you see Ben Affleck's dick in it.
Do you?
Hell of a penis he has on him.
I've seen Gone Girl.
Yeah, it's only for like a millisecond in the shower.
I froze it.
Yeah, you got it. The first time I noticed the size of the dick.
I would say he does, though, in proportion, because he's quite a big guy.
In that, he is a little bit tubby as well. Isn't it? Like, yeah. I'm not saying you gain would weight that in your add dick.
Girth?
I don't know if it does.
I think that's probably the one place in the body that it wouldn't. That you don't gain weight. That's a real fucked up system, huh?
My God. Why? So then he gets the phone. She basically, they have sex, and then she's like, some,
you know what's hot about it as well, if I may? Not just the sex.
But then she gets up and leaves straight away after.
That's hot too. Yeah. But just the fact that, like, she knows that he's not who he says he is. Mm. And she's kind of into it. You know, this dangerous guy now. You know, like,
Joey.
He's not my husband. I don't even know this guy, but I'm really turned on by this guy.
And then she's like...
And then she's like, she leaves in disgust after it.
Yeah, so he's sleeping on the couch and he gets a phone call from his brother, Richie.
This, I can't fucking believe.
You don't like this?
No, I hated this guy.
Oh,
I was Andy. Like, who the fuck? I was like, well, I was watching it and I was kind of like... Like, this is odd. This is an odd ending to the movie. It seemed unnecessary.
It seemed
shoehorned in. I can't believe he got nominated by the esteemed Academy for Best Supporting Actor.
You don't think that, like, speech, he's like, Joey, he's like, you've always been a problem for me. You got me behind the eight ball here. You fuck, like, all that stuff.
I felt like I was watching someone acting. Hamming it up.
Yeah, he is a bit hammy, but it's deadly, like.
I didn't like it. I was like, this is just, I don't know. I don't know what the point is. I mean, I know the
point is he has to close the circle. The loop has to be closed.
But I was just like, you know, I was a bit like that watching it.
I thought so. And he's like, all the shit that, like, how he's so bemused at everything that's happened, where he's like, you could die, and then, like, your man tries to kill him, and just the way the violence, like, he's like,
he gets his hand up there, straight away,
and then, like, kills, like, two of them, and the man is like just looking at, like, what the and he's like springing around the place though, like, like twisting necks and then gone. And I love that he's like, the guy's like looking down and the guy's like, you're gonna give him mouth to mouth? Let's go find this little brick.
How do you mess that up?
Let's find that little brick. And then, you know, it's almost like a horror movie bit at the end where it's like, he looks outside, the door closes behind him, loads of noise. He's dead. And like, I love how like mundane it is. Like, he's fishing for his keys. Like, he's moving very slowly and then the door just opens. Vigo's there with the gun. He's like, Jesus, Joey's like, just to the top of the head. And then he's like, Jesus, Richie.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Like, he goes and baptizes himself in the lake and then drives home and has some stares with his family and they make him a plate.
Silently, and he continues his dinner. So they've kind of like, they've accepted it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
close this chapter in our lives. And that's a wrap. That's 95 minutes.
It was fine. I think if I'd have seen it in 2005 when it came out.
Every time I watch it, it gets better for me.
I feel like it felt a little dated to me. It felt like I was watching a movie from the early 2000s.
Yeah, and I want to go back there though. Like,
no one loves the early 2000s as much as this guy.
Yeah.
But it felt a bit cliched and a little bit basic. If I'm gonna say,
I think you're kind of missing the point that's what he's going for.
Yeah, I'm just watching a movie.
He's leaning into that. Like, he's very much leaning into it. Like, and that's why I kind of think it's deadly.
You know, I can definitely, like, I wouldn't be like, how could you like that? Like, I can see this one over a PTA one where, like, I'm like, how do you like that? Like, I can see what you would like about this, but
like, it's like Top Gun Maverick. Like, it's cheesy.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of formulaic, but like, it leans into it and I'm like, I kind of miss, everything is so like
clever
and sarcastic these days.
Yeah,
little quips. You know, I just like something that is kind of like, and like even the earnestness this is striving for doesn't quite achieve it because everything's a little bit weird in it. But I also really appreciate that about it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Like,
Ed Harris Award.
The Ed Harris Award for Excellence in Acting goes to Ed Harris.
Yeah, man. William Hurt is a strong number two for me. But,
line reading. The Daniel Plain. Excuse me, the Daniel Plain view line reading. I can't think of one.
My one is that one where Viggo's shot on the ground and he's like, I bet you wish you killed me back in Philadelphia, you miserable prick. If Ed Harris called me a miserable prick, I'd be so happy.
Yeah, I could die right now.
He's got a few of them, like, even just when he says Joey.
Yeah.
When he says, Joey. Sure you do, Joey. And you're like, am I Joey? Yeah, I'm Joey. If you say I'm Joey.
I would probably give this, if I'm rating out of 10, I would give it a 6 out of 10.
6?
Yeah, 6 is decent. Scathing. They can't all be 9s on
a board. 9 for me. It's a 9. I love this movie.
6 is decent. 6 is like okay to good.
3 stars.
Yeah, 3 stars. Definitely wouldn't give a 4.
It's a minimum 4. I give a 4.5 on Letterboxd, let me tell you.
Already? Yeah. Before the pod came out?
Yeah, well.
People are going to know. Don't listen to the episode.
Well, that's their tough cheese.
So, we only got one left after this?
And then next week I'll be announcing our next miniseries, Andy.
Let's see. We got it.
I mean,
how about you put to me the series?
No, so here's the plan. Next one's nailed on. And it's a blind spot for you and you're going to love it. I guarantee it. Okay?
Okay.
Trust me. And then for the one after...
Are they movies?
They're movies. Yeah. Then for the one after, I've got a smorgasbord of choices for you for the one after.
Okay.
Okay.
How about we do what's so great about like fucking some other topic?
No.
What's so great about Ireland? What's so great about space? Let's take a left turn from the movies. And what's so great about plants?
I offered you week on, week off, and you turned it down.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Fuck. All right. Let's get our plugs in.
You can find us. Hey, guys, great engagement on some of the posts lately. Thank you very much.
Look how much happier he is.
You can
guys.
Find us. I appreciate it. Appreciate you. You can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. You can find us on Twitter at WSGA Pod. You can find us on TikTok again at What's So Great About Pod. Post something there a while ago.
Good.
Here's the thing. It did do good. Every post we put on TikTok gets 800 views and no more. And
just like, no, you've reached your limit.
But also like, the podcast that I put up, it was that one where it's like you were hungover on the plane. You know that one?
Oh yeah.
Week. And I was like, I'll put that up. It got 800 views and 100 likes. That's an incredible ratio.
Okay.
Right? For like something to go off viral.
So you're saying it should have grown more.
It shouldn't just stop dead at 800. Like, you've got 100 likes. Up. It's clearly something. Every post, none of them have gotten more than 800. And they all get 800 to 850. Like very
fishy.
It's like they deliberately, you know, you gotta pay to play. And all these ones that get all these views and all these likes, like 100 likes, like, no new follows, 4 followers on TikTok we got.
It doesn't make sense.
No. I don't get
something
it.
Something to do with bots, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, they want us to pay for it or something like that. I don't know what it is, but
anyway. Yeah, it's something.
Anyway, you can find us there and you can also find us on Patreon.
Over behind the paywall on Patreon for the low fee of €5 a month. You get access to all our back catalogue of miniseries already, such as What's So Great About the MCU, What's So Great About 90s Action Movies, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, and What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies. Plus, you have access to a bunch of our one-offs. We've done loads of top fives, Perfect Day, Dream Festival. We pitched each other scripts. I will say, last week we did an Ask Men. If you want to hear some unhinged laughing from the two of us and some slightly more risque content, Get on over there. It's a good time. €5 a month.
We're beholden to no one over there, except our beloved patrons, of course. But we don't hold back over there.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's very fun.
It's body.
You get at least about 150 episodes that you wouldn't have access to. Right, just like that.
And if you can't afford to rate, if you can't afford to pay for the Patreon, the low fee of €5 a month. Thanks, man. Here's what you can do. You can give me a rating or review wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it's Apple or Spotify or whatever. Now, Andy.
Yeah?
In this movie, there's a body count of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I don't want 11 star review.
That'd be crazy.
I just want a 5-star review.
How does he do it?
Who knows?
The intro, the outro.
It's a very simple formula.
Pick a number.
Try and work around it. All right. So until next week, it's the last of our 100-minute miniseries.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
You know it.
I haven't seen it. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it too. I have not seen it in a long time. So it's on Prime Video.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good. Good. About time.
All these esoteric choices.
I know. Now I'll enjoy not having to watch it on my laptop. And tune in for that. And then the announcement of the next series will be news to me too.
It's going to be good. Yay. It's going to be good.
Club if you'd like to go.